Thank you, Don. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Also wanted to announce this Wednesday, our high schoolers, I believe, are going to be at Sue Gore's house. Also, this next Saturday is our advance. If you signed up, hopefully you're getting our emails and texts. And we had said $20. It is $10. That'll cover the food and the manual. You can pay that today. You can put it in the offering. Just put it in an envelope, put advance on it, or you can pay it online as well. We'll be following up with you this week. We have about 25 students, and it's going to be a powerful time. Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to glean from another chapter from the book Down to Earth this morning by Tom Hughes. I shared one of the parables that he wrote about last week. I want to share about another parable this morning. This parable is about the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids, depending on what translation you're reading from. And I want to read 1 through 13. Matthew 25, verses 1 says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.'" Verse 10. "And while they were there to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." Verse 11. "Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you.'" Verse 13 and last. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour for which the Son of Man is coming." As much as this is a story about the second coming of Christ, I mean, reading it, obviously we know what Jesus is referring to. It is also a story about regrets. This morning, we're going to talk a lot about regrets. Kind of like that college student that decides to hang out with all his friends instead of studying for that major test tomorrow. You're going to have lots and lots of regrets when you find out the grade. Kind of like that person that knows they're not supposed to eat spicy things and eats them anyway. Yeah, in the morning, you're going to have some regrets. I had a milkshake on Friday night. I won't go into details. That's all I'll say. I had some regrets after that. Sadie goes, "That's disgusting." There was a college in New York City that decided to do an experiment. They bought one of those huge whiteboards, similar to that. They took it to downtown New York City, put it on a street corner where there were lots of people there, and they wrote these words, "Write your biggest regrets," and they just sat there and waited. As people came, they began to look, and they began to pick up the marker and begin to write all of their regrets. When it was full, they began to read all of those words, and some of those regrets were not speaking up against racism, not being a good husband or a good father, not being bolder, not risking more, not restoring a relationship that I should have restored. But I think the whiteboard reminds us that all of us at one time or another have regrets. Now, hold on to that whiteboard thought, because we're going to get back to it towards the end of my message. So back to the parable. Jesus tells this story not to say, "Hey, folks, it's too late." It's quite the opposite. Jesus is saying there, it is not too late. If you are still breathing, it's not too late. You can't erase the past. You can't go back in time. You can't redo future, but you can't redo history, but your future is now. There's still time to make the right decisions. In biblical days, the groom would eventually come to the village and get the bride. Now, very, very different than the way we do weddings today. A wedding ceremony is about an hour long here, maybe 45 minutes, and then the reception. And when I was in Belize, Pastor Kudzai, the pastor that took over after me, he is Zimbabwean, and his family, when I did his wedding, they said, man, that was short. They said a wedding in Zimbabwe would last about 7 hours. What would happen, the preacher would not just do the ceremony, he would preach a sermon. And then any guest preachers would attend, and they would preach a sermon. Then they would open it up to anybody else that had a sermon to preach. It could last 7 or 8 hours, and that was the first day of about 7 days. My daughter Avia is looking at me like, no way, no, no, no. And that is their weddings, but our weddings are very, very short. You can say hallelujah to that. But in biblical days, one of the things that they did, y'all laughed awkwardly, like, ah. In biblical days, it would last for 7 days, and the groom would come looking for the bride in her village. Kind of like today, we do the wedding mark, here comes the bride. In biblical days, they would shout out, here comes the groom, because he is coming to get the bride. And that's the story that we're reading about that Jesus presented here. In this story, Jesus is saying the groom is coming. He is coming for his bride. He is coming for the church. Jesus tells this story to the people to connect with them a much deeper spiritual meaning. In this case, it was that he's coming again. And that is so important to us as the body of Christ, even when we celebrate communion. The last part of communion, the scripture that we read is this. So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The last part of this sacred ceremony that we celebrate a new covenant in our relationship with Jesus, it reminds us that Jesus is coming back. We are a four-square church. We believe in a lot more than four squares, but the four squares in our logo is Jesus is our Savior. He's our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's our healer. And the last one, he is our soon-coming King. This parable is about Jesus coming again. The five bridesmaids lived in regret because they were not ready for his coming again. This is a parable that challenges us to be ready, but it is also a parable that challenges us to look towards our regrets. Be reminded that we all have regrets that we need to move past. So here we are. We're going to look at three different points of how this is important for us. Number one, doing first what matters most. The bridesmaids had one task, to make sure their lamps were ready. Five of them did it. Five of them did not. Some might see the five wise maids that did do it as selfish. They were asked to give up some of the oil, and they said no. Some of them may say, well, isn't that selfish? We're talking about Christianity here. We're supposed to share. But the lamp represents our lives, and the oil in it represents the fruit and the attitudes of our hearts. I think the point is some things cannot be shared. Some things cannot be borrowed. Your relationship with God cannot be borrowed by your mom and dad. It's yours. Your character cannot be borrowed from anybody else. It is yours. Serving others and honoring Jesus with all your hearts cannot be borrowed. It is a journey that you must walk down. Faith cannot be borrowed. Your life cannot be borrowed. It is yours to fulfill your destiny before God, or it is yours to reject that destiny. Each of us is responsible before God. I have no control over my genes. I have no control over what mom and dad birthed me, but I do have control over my choices. I do have control over whether my choices are good or evil. I do have control over my choices, whether they are love or hate. Like the oil in the story, not only can things not be borrowed, but we must do the first things, what matters most. The bridesmaids had one job, and five of them fell. This morning I wanted to show you some one thing jobs. So do I have that up there? Right there. Somebody had one job. They put the, no, back, don't go too fast. If you're not catching this, they put the hot dogs in the hamburger bag, and they put the hamburger bag in the hot dogs bag. They had one job. You can go to the next one. Thirst place. That's on metal, too. That was done at the shop. You had one job. Go ahead to the next one. Ah, look at there. Those are great front row seats. Somebody's going to pay high dollar and be very disappointed. They're going to be having a regretful day. Do not stack. One job. Go ahead to the next one. All right. Just right. Happy birthday. Just right. Most of y'all get it. A few of y'all are going to laugh in like 5 minutes. Got it. Oh, that was hilarious. Next. All right. Last time I checked, that was not Asia. That is Superman. Even I know that. I think the last one. Go ahead. All right. You had one job. Spell it. I'm a terrible speller, and even I know how to spell. Stop. S-T-O-P. See there? One job. There was this famous artist in Germany in the 1700s. His name was Adolf Menzel. He was painting a picture for King Frederick, addressing his generals in the battle in 1757. Is it up there? Menzel painted the background really nice. He painted the other people. He was working on it really, really hard. He wanted it to be perfect. But he died before he painted the king. That blob right there was where the king was supposed to go. True story. Menzel failed to put in the painting the one thing that mattered most. He assumed that he had plenty of time. I'll get to that next week. I'll get to the king, the most important part of this entire piece. I'll get it to it next week. I got plenty of time tomorrow. We've talked about it a lot in this church. Tomorrow simply just never come. Jesus' parable about the bridesmaids is a story about doing first what matters most. They got distracted when they should have been focused. I get it. We get distracted when we should be focused. We live in a day that's easy to distract us. I grew up as a small child in what called Blue Laws. Anybody know what Blue Laws are? The malls could not be open. At least Rob remembered. The malls on Sunday morning could not be open. It was a law that forbid them from opening. And you couldn't play sports on Sunday. The one thing you had to do, you could rest if you were an unchurched person, or you went to church. I get it. Life is here. We can go to the malls. We can do our sports events. We need to make more money, so we got to work on Sundays. Everything is sucking money from us these days. We work 6 days a week, so we have to rest sometime. Sunday's a great day for us to rest. Life is busy. The real question is, are we doing first what matters most? The bridesmaid story ends, if only I had. I'm sure the bridesmaids probably said, if only I'd listened to my mom. She told me to make sure my oil lamps were full. If only I had taken 5 more minutes when I was at home, I could have filled them up. If only I would have known that the groom was going to take so long. We don't want to end our lives with regrets. That's why we need to do first what matters most. Now, God is not interested in our end time predictions. I think God has that kind of figured out. He's not really interested in all of our huge debates we have about when he's coming out. That's why I tell everybody I'm a panist. It's all going to pan out in the end. I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus is coming back. How he's all going to do it, I'll let him, because he understands it and I don't. So I'm just a panist. It's going to pan out in the end. But I'll tell you what God is interested in. He's interested in transformed hearts that creates an overflow of goodness to everybody around them. God is interested in his, he created in us and born within us a God-given purpose to be the light of the world. Jesus is saying to us this morning, it's not too late, but one day it will be. We must be about doing first what matters most. First, what matters most. Number two, doing the second things first tends to lead to regrets. The question is, how do we fail at doing what we're called to do? I don't know about y'all. How many of y'all absolutely hate the furniture at IKEA or Walmart or wherever you go that you have to build yourself? Anybody like that? I hate those things. But if you need it done, this young lady right here, she loves them. So just call Melody on the phone. Hey, can you build my desk? I hate them. There are 1,000 pieces of screws, and they're all different size screws and nuts and wood, and my family loves to build them with me. Kaylee, where's that board I told you to do? We work in such unity when we're building this furniture. I think why I hate it so much is because I'm really not really good at reading directions. I'm so thankful for GPS because it tells me where I'm supposed to be at right now. Because back in the day when we had to read maps, I would never read a map and therefore I would always be lost. And I'm a man. I can't pull over and ask somebody. I just got to get more lost because that's how I operate. And what I find I do with these things, I look at it, it seems simple in itself, so I skip number one, and I just do number two, and then I do number three, and I do number four, and I do number five, and I get to 10, and I find out at 10 that I should have done one first. And now I have to take 10, 9 off, take out the glue out of 7 and 6 and undo the screws, and then I break one in the process all the way down the 1 to start over. Why? Because I should have just done 1 first. And when we do the second things first, we tend to end in regrets. Doing second things first leads to regrets in building furniture and it as well in our daily lives. C.S. Lewis puts it this way, put first things first, and we get the second things thrown in. Put the second things first, and we lose both the first and the second things. Notice in verse 2 of this text, Jesus does not call the 5 bridesmaids wicked or evil. He calls them foolish. They got distracted by the things around them. If they would have been asked why they didn't fill their lamps with oil, I'm sure that it would have said, I thought I had more time. I simply got busy. We as a people must focus on the first things first. God and his kingdom. You know this scripture. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the first thing is our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the first thing. Discovering who he is in a daily quest to know him more. We like to say discipleship is a lifelong process. We are doing our Go 101, which is a discipleship process, but it doesn't end there by no means. Discipleship, learning to be like Jesus is lifelong. I am far away from being like Jesus. I got a long ways to go. It's a journey every day of discovering more of him. That is what we should be doing first things first. In the Bible, it talks about giving of your first fruits the tithe. The reason it says the first fruits, because if you try the tithe at the end of the month, you will spend your money on everything else and then say, well, I don't have enough money to tithe. That's why you should do it with the first fruits. It's kind of like reading 100 pages of your favorite novel and then being done for the day and then say, I need to read the word now. You've been filled up with those 100 pages. You don't have time to read the word. First things first. Doing the second things first tends to end with regrets. So we've learned we are to do first what matters most. Doing the second things first tends to lead to regrets. And number three, your future is now. Remember the whiteboard? New York City, downtown. After everything was filled up, they erased it and they wrote on it, clean slate. Now, the process of erasing the regrets did not signify that we get to erase our past, because we can't. Regrets can be forgiven, but they're not erased. But the point is, the future is now. Stop dwelling on your past. Your future is now. We cannot go backwards, but we can move forward. Stop letting your past define you. From this moment, you have the opportunity to use your past as tools for your future. All of your victories and all of your failures gets to become wisdom for your future. Use it for your future, because your future is now. You can't rewind the past, but you can't do it differently today. What if today is the day that you begin doing the first things first? What if today you begin to live your life with an eternal perspective rather than just an earthly one? What if today you begin to focus more time on your spouse or your children instead of doing the other things that are secondary, that distract us from what matters most? What if perhaps today the Holy Spirit has been putting on your heart one or two different people that you know need Jesus? Today is a day that you says, I choose to be intentional in their life, to love them and love them to Jesus. Today I realize it's not anybody else's responsibility to love them to Jesus. It is my responsibility. And today I will do the first things first. Because I love them, I will be intentional in leading them to Jesus. Let me tell you a couple of really cool opportunities you have. In 2 weeks I announced it. During announcements, back to school prayer is coming up. It's going to be a fun Sunday. We have these a couple of different gifts that we're going to pass out to all the kids and all the students. You have tons of people that you know that have kids, that have high schoolers, that people in college. What a great opportunity to bring them on that Sunday. Let us bless them and love them, but be a seed to planting the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life. Just a great opportunity. Now, this is a couple of months away, but in the past, when I pastored Life Church, when I pastored LifeNet, we would do a big Sunday, the largest outreach of the year. We'd do a big Sunday called Friend Day. Y'all remember Friend Day? Well, this year we're going to call it BOG Sunday, Be Our Guest. Go ahead, you can sing the song if you want to. Be Our Guest, Be Our Guest. Beauty and the Beast, come on there. A couple of them shaking their heads. Melon's going, oh yeah. And other people are looking at me like, what are you doing? But we're going to have BO guests, and we're going to have these little bitty tokens, these bar tokens or gambling tokens, and we don't encourage you to do either one of those, but we will have these tokens. We have 1,000 of these BOGs, and everywhere you go, I want you to give someone a BOG. We'll give them to you in about 6 weeks. They're so cool, because if you give them a flyer, what are they going to do? As soon as they're out of their sight, they're going to throw it away. But I hope these are plastic. They stick it on their pocket because they're just cool. And I hope they come to our Be Our Guest Sunday. It will be a Sunday that we focused on the unchurched. We focus on sharing the gospel deliberately, intentionally, and we pray that many will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. First things first. Leading people to Jesus is all of our mandate. We find tangible ways to do it. These are just two we do corporately, but you are to do them tangibly all throughout the week. Find ways to love people to Jesus. The best way to bring people to Jesus is through your relationships. Not a canned gospel presentation. Loving people, friending them. I'm chasing a little rabbit here, but there is I shared on it a little while ago. My daughter Tori linked me to a Muslim man who had converted to Christianity. He has since passed away. But he said, He said, my mother has lived in the United States for 20-something years, and no one has invited her over. Because she wears a hijab, and she obviously is Muslim, so we are going to stay away from her. He said, she is not a Christian because no one has loved her and formed a friendship. So therefore, she watches TV, and obviously everybody in America are Christians, and she watches the movie, and she said, if that is Christianity, that is why I'm a Muslim. She's never met an authentic lover of Jesus, except for her son. The world has come to Katy, Texas. What an opportunity we have to love people to Jesus. You're going to be getting lots of these in the coming weeks. Get ready for Be Our Guest Sunday that we can share the gospel with people. What a great Sunday that we do the first things first. What if the person you invited to church on that Sunday ends up getting radically saved and begins to reach their entire family for Jesus? What if the person that you bring to church on that Sunday ends up getting radically saved, gets called into the mission field, goes to an unreached people group, and sees thousands come to Jesus, all because someone intentionally made a friendship with a lost person to love them to Jesus? First things first. Hear this, clean slates are worthless if we keep filling them with the same secondary choices. I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to give you a second chance. Don't do the same thing you've always done. And then we end up doing the same thing. Have you ever been typing? And this happens to me all the time. I'm typing, and I like bold print a lot of times when I'm certain things. I'm not capital letters. And so I'm typing, and I realize it was capital letter, and I meant to do lowercase, and so I erase it, and I do it again, and it was capital again, and I breathe out, and I erase it, and I do it again, and I look down, it's capital again. Anybody else? Is that just me? Oh, I hate it when I do that. Clean slates are worthless if we keep doing the same things. There's an old saying, and you've heard it many, many times. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Today is a clean slate. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to some of you this morning to begin doing first things first. Would you stand with me? Henry David Thoreau, I have no idea who he is, but he said something pretty profound. He said, it's not enough that we are busy. Even ants are busy. The question is, what are we busy about? Wow. We get so distracted in this life, we forget what we should be busy about. Doing first things first. Doing first things what matter most. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Doing the second things first leads to regrets. Being like the wise bridesmaids, not the foolish ones. And your future is now. I like being busy. But be busy about doing the Father's business. Don't live in the regrets of yesterday. You can't get rid of those, but begin again today. Today is a new day. Your future is right now. Would you just play something softly? Could our leaders begin to make their way up? Do you have regrets that are holding you back? I think I'm speaking to far more than just one person today. Regrets that keep you up at night. I remember as a pastor, I did something really, really stupid one time. I've done many stupid things over time, but this is just one of them. And when I did it, I knew I'd messed up. It kept me up for 3 nights. I ached. I begged God to forgive me. The fact of the matter is God had forgiven me on the first moment I asked him to. I just couldn't forgive myself. Do you live in a regret that is holding you back? Do you allow the enemy to lie to you and says God can't use you because of your past? Lay that at the foot of the cross today. Your future is right now. What are the regrets that are holding you back? Are you busy doing second things first? And today you say, I want to begin doing the first things that matter most. I want to be intentional on living with an eternal perspective. This morning, if you have needs, if you're sick in body and want prayer, if you're praying for a loved one, perhaps when I was talking about this outreach, someone came to your mind and you want to reach them, you want to love them to Jesus. And you just want to join with somebody in prayer for that person. This morning, if you are here and you are struggling with regret, when you come forward, you don't have to tell them all the details of it. But I believe it's very important that we come forward, we take action to what we've decided to do. We join someone in prayer. If that's you, begin making your way up. If you have any needs this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, boy, we would love to pray with you this morning. If you've been running the opposite way and the Lord says today is a day to come home, man, we want to pray with you this morning. If you've been busy doing second things and today is, man, today I need to begin doing the first things, would you come forward? Just come. Thank you, God. Just begin to come. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to come, just begin to come. Thank you, God. Holy God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid. If you need to come, just come. Holy God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Just keep you a couple of minutes, but if you need to come, please come. Congregation, pray for those that are up here right now receiving ministry. God's doing something in their life right now. Would you just join them in prayer? You don't have to go up, but just pray right where you are. If you still need to come, please feel that freedom to come. Thank you. Father God, there were 10 bridesmaids. 5 of them were wise. 5 of them were foolish. Five of them ended their day in regrets. Father, remind us as a body to do the first things that matter most. Cause us to be a people that live life with an eternal perspective, not just an earthly one. Father, we come together and we worship you and we speak about you being our all in all. God, cause us to be a reality in our lives where we begin doing the first things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, where we begin doing the first things first. Cause us to be a people that hungers and thirsts to do your will and fulfill your destiny for our lives, God. And Father, there are people here that are being held back because they live in the regrets, and the enemy uses that to hold them back. They are disappointed with themselves, and the enemy uses that to speak lies of their life and tell them they will never be able to move forward. God, let them know today that is a lie from the enemy, that their future begins today. Their future is now, God. They can't replace the past. They can be forgiven of it, but they can't replace it. They can't redo history, but their future is a different story, God. May we choose to love and not hate. May we choose good and not evil, God. May we grasp that it's not too late. Our future is now, Jesus. Speak to us, God. Cause this message to reverberate in our hearts throughout the week. Let us wrestle with it. Hear from you through it, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. He is very good all the time. Thank you so much for... Are y'all going to do a... You going to do your own thing? Your own original? Okay. Would you bless us?
Securely found. give me Jesus, you can have all of this world, but give me Jesus, and you can have all of this world, but give me
Would it be great if they came back and scheduled a time that we just had a morning of worship? Could your team join you real quick so we can pray over you? Just want to also announce next Sunday, Robin's going to be preaching. So it's going to be a good Sunday. You don't have to mess with the chairs. The custodians actually lock them up, especially when there's no school. They don't have to reset them. So if you're going to do them, thank you for your help. But we don't need that. So would you just stretch your hands out?
Our drummer had to take care of
our babies. All right. Our drummer had other things to do. Father, I bless this team, God. I bless their ministry. I bless where you will take them, God. God, would you use their gift for your kingdom? You can have everything else, but give me Jesus as their heart, God. Father, give them the creativity as they continue to write songs. The connections that would expand their influence to other places, God. Give them the ears to hear what you are speaking to them, God. We thank you for that. God, we bless them for blessing us today. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give them a hand clap? God bless you. You have a wonderful week. Bless you.